they can do it. Makes us honor, better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right. Comes back to the left. Going long for Gordon. He's out there and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
Unbelievable catch, unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura.
It's a Football Monday after a very unspectacular Super Bowl. Oh, my God, how awful that was.
This is the best day of the year.
It is. Well, yeah, post-Super Bowl, you're saying?
Yeah. Everything. Yeah. We're looking forward now. There's no more looking back. Yeah. Everything is about looking forward. The slate has been wiped clean. We stand in the same place as everybody else here with the Cleveland Browns. And now it is time to move forward and get this team where Seattle is.
Okay, but can we talk about that game yesterday a little bit?
It was a beatdown, notorious. It was a butt kicking.
It was a butt kicking. It was a statement, and the statement was defense still wins championships in this pass happy league, this quarterback driven supposedly league. Defense, dominant defense wins. That was a classic matchup of a dominant defense against a great offense, and the great offense was pathetic. They were beaten up physically. They were beaten up strategically. Peyton Manning looked horrible because that defense made him look horrible. And I give so much credit to, first of all, the talent that the Seahawks have, the way they're built, not only those big guys that we know that play so well in the secondary, but that defensive front and the overwhelming job that did it was dominant. And it reminded us that sound and solid and outstanding defense is still the way to go in the National Football League. The Broncos, great. Awesome numbers that they put up, those gaudy numbers, wonderful for the regular season. They got into a championship game with a defense. They got pulled into the alley, and they got pounded. And they had their lunch money taken. They had it all done. It was an embarrassment of the highest proportion. And give credit, give props, major props to the Seahawks to do that. And I'll take it a step further. I'm encouraged. You talk about a clean slate for the Cleveland Browns. I'm encouraged that the Browns are going down the road after back-to-back coaches who were offensive-oriented. They bring in Mike Pettine. They bring in a defensive guy. And, of course, you got to get the talent to go with it. But having a sound, strong, dominant defense, I think, is the way to go in the National Football League.
Well, I'll say this. Out of the last 8 Super Bowls, 6 were won by the team with the worst defense statistically entering the Super Bowl, including last night. I think when you have a defense that is historically dominant, and I will say Seattle was a historically dominant defense, akin to the Chicago Bears of 1985, the Baltimore Ravens of 2000.
Yep.
They're in the discussion for the greatest defense, I believe, of all time.
No question.
And when you have that, yes, you can win. I think obviously you'd want to have it all. And I'm not going to say that they don't. They may not have the biggest name receivers, as Chris Carter was told rather emphatically by Doug Baldwin after the game, but their offense, Russell Wilson converts on third down when he needs to. They can run the football with Lynch.
He was good.
But their defense is just flat out suffocating. And you know what? I'm mad at myself. We talked when we went back through the championship Sundays. We said the NFC Championship game was the Super Bowl. And then we both said it. We both picked Denver to win.
Yep, we did. No, we picked Denver to win. I know what the
road. I did have Seattle covering. I want to throw it out there in my prediction.
Good for you. I thought that Denver would win the game. But to the point of completeness of a football team, they do have that too. But it's a good quarterback. You don't have to have a great quarterback. Peyton Manning was the great quarterback yesterday. I mean, in terms of entering the game. He was the great quarterback with a great, historically great offense.
Sure.
Historic.
Absolutely.
They made history with all their dominant scoring and that we no one saw, as great as that Seahawk defense was, no one really saw the matchup working to their benefit when it came against those receivers. Who was going to cover all this talent? And what I saw was when they took it to them physically, Eric Decker disappeared. Julius Thomas disappeared. And Demaryius Thomas, even though he had a whole bunch of catches, they were meaningless garbage, nothing catches. They were insignificant. And he disappeared, actually. He wasn't the difference-making dominant playmaker that he had been. And I think the first one of the early hits that he took that sent him flying 3 yards backwards was like, whoa.
And yeah, and the first crossing.
Oh,
yeah.
It just,
they did nothing. They were they were stifled.
They were overwhelmed.
In every way.
And by the way, kudos to the Seattle crowd. I could see this. Yeah, I spent the week there, of course, in New York and, you know, doing CBD all week long and seeing how Manhattan, Nathan, was transforming into a Seahawks
team. It was about 4-1. Is that about what you saw?
It was easily that. And I noticed it. It was starting to become more and more pronounced when we got to about, Thursday night, Friday, and then Saturday for sure. I went down in the lobby to get some breakfast at the hotel, and I was in a sea of green jerseys, of Seattle colors, and then blue and green. And then the game day morning, just getting off the elevator, riding the elevators and going through, I said, oh, my God. I saw exactly 4 Bronco jerseys in the course of 48 hours leading up to the game.
It was dominant. The crowd, it came through on television. It was obviously a pro Seahawks crowd, and they were loud. They were proud. They were in charge. How about Percy Harvin? Played more snaps in the Super Bowl than he had played in the entire season and postseason combined. Has a kick return for a touchdown. 2 carries for 45 yards. He was unbelievable. Second straight year that the kickoff of the second half returned for a touchdown.
Yeah, that's a little factoid.
That's pretty crazy. Safety on the first play. Denver just looked discombobulated. They were beaten up front, and they were dominating. I thought Demaryius Thomas, 13 for 118 touchdown. The numbers are good at the end of the day, but only averaged 9 yards a catch. That's not what he does. Welker, I thought, showed up. But really, their ability, and we talked about it going again. Remember I said they're starting 3 corners all averaged less than 1 yard per cover snap.
Right.
All 3 were in the top 10 league. And that's without Brandon. Let's not forget Brandon Browner is not playing.
Arguably their best corner wasn't in the game. I mean, you called, obviously, I'm not going to say that Richard Sherman isn't their best.
But he was the other starter
at
that time.
Brandon Browner was playing arguably better football at the time he got hurt, according to people who had watched that team every day. But that said, they were missing a great cornerback. Yep.
But what this team does is you have Byron Maxwell, drafted in the 6th round back in 2011, steps up and is a star. The MVP is a 7th round pick. Sherman himself is a 5th round pick?
6th, I think. Yeah, 5th or 6th, yeah.
Their GM has done a phenomenal job of mining 21 of the 53 players on their roster undrafted free agents.
Yeah.
They did an unbelievable job of mining talent and then maximizing and getting the best out of that talent. So a huge kudos, obviously, to Pete Carroll, Daryl Bevel, the offensive coordinator, Dan Quinn, the defensive coordinator. And I know
Dan Quinn was tremendous.
But they didn't really. It's not like they did anything crazy. They just straight up beat them up and dominated.
But this is what I liked about Dan Quinn's scheme. He played them back and let stuff happen in front of them, and then whack the living crap out of those guys
they
when they caught the ball.
They couldn't throw deep.
So they exactly. They forced. They did exactly. They forced Manning to do exactly what they knew he would do, and that is try to attack what was available underneath, take what was underneath, and then make everybody pay for it. And Wes Welker got clocked underneath. Eric Decker, as I said, I don't even know where he was. I was trying to find him. I said, oh, yeah, there. No, he's here. I saw his jersey, and then I saw him, you know, talk a little bit, saw on the quote sheet at least after the game. And, yeah, Eric Decker was visible in that regard, but not on the field. And – I give it up to defensive football reigning supreme. Yes, this is special. This is historic. This is dominant. This is a great defense, not just a very good or solid defense. But it does make a statement. It does tell us, because this matchup was ideal. You couldn't have planned this any better to have great defense versus great offense. And which one would give? I thought it was at the very best would be a close game, won ultimately by an offense that could just make enough play or one more or 2 more plays than the other team's offense could.
Right.
That never happened because the defense took solid control of this game by the throat, and there was attitude. It was physical. It was attitude. It was the swagger. It was everything that they brought to it, and the Broncos wanted no part of it. In fact, the Broncos defense, I thought, by the second quarter, stopped playing.
They
weren't tackling anybody. They checked out.
On the Jermaine
Kearse,
on the touchdown.
Oh, yeah. That was sad.
They were just trying to knock the ball out. But I'll tell you what, if you go back and if you remember the first 10 weeks of the season for the Denver Broncos, Peyton Manning threw for over 300 yards and had at least 3 touchdowns in every game but one. And if you remember that game, it was a shock to everybody. It was Denver against Jacksonville. And who's Jacksonville's head coach? Of course, Gus Bradley, the former defensive coordinator of the Seattle Seahawks. I'm pretty sure that they may have had a few communiques about this game and this game plan and did a phenomenal job, and you got to tip your cap without question to what Seattle is going to do. And that brings us back to the other side now. Peyton Manning, best regular season quarterback of all time. Take it as a backhanded compliment. That's what it is. 1-2 in the Super Bowl. 2 interceptions early. 1 was a pick 6. He was dominated in this game.
He was dominated. And I feel there's a place in my heart that for him, and I feel bad for the man.
I do, too.
Knowing him and watching him his whole career, and during my time at NFL.com, I spent a lot of time at Colts games and around Peyton Manning. So there was a personal sense, and had a lot of discussions with him away from just football, just the guy and his family. And, you know, the whole thing was just sad to see in many respects, because the legacy is taking a major, major hit. The legacy of Manning has to get crushed here.
And that's unfair to me.
I know it's unfair, but it's real. It's real. It's reality.
He is still one of the 5 greatest quarterbacks to play the game, period.
No argument with that.
Period.
Of course.
Maybe even one of the 3 greatest, win or lose, whatever happened, even when he got smacked. But he's not going to be considered the greatest. He just won't be.
And he won't be. And, Nathan, here's the other thing. He's going to carry that asterisk. It's going to be stuck to him, and it can't be removed. It can't be surgically removed.
Thank God he got one. Thank God he got to beat Rex Grossman one time.
1-2 in Super Bowls. And those one-and-dones that he had in the playoffs with the Colts and last year with the Broncos, those are all going to pile up. And now he got into a Super Bowl and just wasn't he would have been okay if the rest of his team had played better. He was part and parcel, central to the Broncos meltdown.
Peyton Manning now has a losing record in the playoffs for his career. 11-12 overall in the playoffs. And when you think about the fact that out of those 23 games, how many games do you think Peyton Manning was not favored out of 23? Maybe 3?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe 3? It could be 1 or 2. Could be a couple games against New England that he was not the favorite. Right. He was pretty much the favorite in every
one of them.
Single one of those playoff games.
True.
And went 11-12. And that is, at some level, unacceptable. That is unacceptable when you look at his overall legacy with where he stands in the game. Regular season, nobody's been more efficient. Nobody's put up better numbers. Nobody's done more. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. But when it comes to the playoffs, it's gonna be there with him. You're right. And he still is one of the best. But if you were to pull a bunch of people and say, who do you want? Your team is in a clutch situation. He might not even be one of the first 5 quarterbacks that's mentioned.
That's going to really stink. I mean, that he won't be among the first 5. When you think about what he is, what he's represented, he's the defining face of this game. I sat at the NFL Honors Awards program Saturday night, Radio City Music Hall, amazing event. And, of course, it was basically a Manning fest. I mean, he was winning, obviously, MVP. He was winning the other, whatever, offensive player of the year. He was getting all those awards and honors, well-deserved. His father, Archie, he wasn't there. He wasn't present, but Archie and Olivia, his parents, were there. Eli was there. And his son. They sent along his son to accept an award, too. But, it was tough to watch yesterday and seeing a guy who had not even a clue or an answer. Didn't part of you say at some point, okay, this is getting out of hand early, but you know the Broncos are going to come back? Did you think that at all early on?
I thought that they would make a run. And at least make it interesting. And I'll tell you what. The decision to go for it on fourth down at the end of the first half, I get it. But at the same time, you needed the positivity of any points on that drive.
Right.
And when they didn't get it,
that was
good night, Irene. You said good night. I reined it right back to you. Good night, Irene. It was over. That was
Twitter,
it.
Yeah.
That was it. And I said that. I was watching the game, and I said, if they don't get this, it is stick a fork in them. They're Dunsky.
And it was, and sadly, that's exactly how it worked out, or whatever your perspective was. But kudos and congratulations to the Seattle Seahawks, to the Denver Broncos. here's something else that's a dose of reality. They're going to be back in this thing next year. I think
who's Seattle?
The Broncos. I mean, I think Seattle will be too, but I think the Broncos are going to be right back at this next year.
They're going to be a very good team.
Because
yeah.
I'm assessing the AFC right now.
The AFC is not good.
And I can't say that there's, well, you know what? Next year, somebody better will be there. This could very well be the same Super Bowl matchup in 49.
I think the Niners are going to be, come out of the Niners. I mean, the bottom line is the AFC is ripe for the taking. Now, New England could get very healthy again. If, as you remember, they lost so many people, they might have a shot to have one more run in them. But the AFC, not impressive, which is why this day is so exciting to me, because the Browns have an opportunity. Let's retool this thing, Notorious. The AFC is wide open.
So the post-game press conference, that threw me for a loop. Post-game press conference, listening to Dan Quinn, the Seahawks defensive coordinator, said for the record that he would have taken the Browns job had it been offered to him. Of course, it never got to that. The Browns gave the job to Mike Pettine, took more of the sure thing. And I think, look, we might as well get into this while we're praising effusively what the Seahawks did and what Dan Quinn was a part of. But I think the fact that you're the Browns, and if you're still not sure, if you needed that second interview with the guy and you wanted to take that additional time to really find out what he was about. Now, he's saying it now after the fact, great. But if you didn't know for sure you were going to hire him and you were waiting until now to do that, probably not a good idea to take that risk. If you had a conviction on Mike Pettine, which they clearly did, you go for that.
And I know that people around here are even happier now with Mike Pettine a week on the job, saying that they love that work ethic, they love what he's doing, and very excited about it. We know that Kyle Shanahan, that situation on the offensive coordinator to really kind of help solidify the staff should be resolved hopefully later today.
Yeah.
So you certainly can keep an eye on that. Look at clevelandbrowns.com or download the Cleveland Browns app to get the absolute latest on when that becomes official. But if they wanted to go with him, I think they would have gone with him. I think they would have waited. It's not like a situation with Gase where he never interviewed and then maybe was going to.
Yeah, and that looks okay right now.
Right. Could you imagine if the Browns were introducing him tomorrow as the head coach?
Oh, God.
Could you imagine?
No. I'm just glad.
We don't need to. We got Mike Pettine.
That one.
Recollision low crossers, everybody.
Fate stepped in
to
that one for sure.
They did. It intervened.
So, Kyle Shanahan, all the reports are that he is on the verge of becoming the offensive coordinator for the Browns, that it's something that is a lot of reports have possibly happening as soon as this afternoon. We're going to have with us Mike Jones from the Washington Post, covers the Redskins, will join us at the bottom of the hour, a little less than 15 minutes from now, to talk about Kyle Shanahan. Maybe we'll talk some Super Bowl with him as well, but definitely want to get into some of Kyle Shanahan assessment from him. We've got that. We're going to have an interview that I brought back with me from New York. I sat down with Kevin Costner, the star of Draft Day. He plays the part of Sonny Weaver Jr., the general manager of the Browns. In the movie, we had a chance to visit with Dennis Leary, who's the head coach, Vincent Penn of the Browns, on Friday, and also had a chance to sit down with Jennifer Garner. That was so cool Friday. I was like a...
This guy's in love.
I turned into like a blushing 15-year-old boy. That was sad. That was just so
sad. It wasn't sad.
I melted down.
No,
she
was
great.
Notorious.
She just sat there in all her Jennifer greatness. And I was telling Megan Rogers...
I saw her today, too.
Who's
you're a star.
The real life Jennifer Garner in our building, because that's the part... Jennifer played the part of the attorney/capologist. And I saw... I mentioned to Megan, I said... Just for the record, I don't know if you're listening to CBD on Friday, but Jennifer Garner mentioned you repeatedly and in glowing terms. She just gave you so much love. And she says, I didn't hear it, but I got all these texts from people telling me about it. So that was great.
And they were talking about her on ESPN.
And ESPN. She got, Jennifer Garner gave her some really good pub. So we got that covered for you. You're going to hear from Gerard Cherry in hour number two of the show. Go ahead.
Yeah, and we want to hear from you as well. What do you guys think about the fact that now that you saw this Super Bowl, the Browns hired a defensive coach? Does that seem more like the right thing to you than it was a few weeks ago? Where do you think the Seahawks defense ranks all time? 85 Bears, 2000 Ravens. We mentioned them earlier. Is this the best defense of all time? And I know we are a what have you done for me lately, and maybe not a lot of people got to experience the 85 Bears. They were pretty darn good.
They were phenomenal.
But yeah, so hit us up 216-578-0850 or tweet the show at Browns_daily.
Just getting this thing started. It is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. He is Nathan Nate Dogg Segura. I'm Vic Carucci. You're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.